Short scripture reading today. Very short. This is from the Gospel according to Luke in the 13th chapter. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it?" He asked the question. "It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches." Probably the shortest passage I've ever read on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Just two verses. What's the kingdom of God like, Jesus says? It's like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden, and it grows and becomes a tree, and the bird makes nests in its branches. You ever see a mustard tree? Over in Israel, there's mustard trees that grow to about 6 to 8 feet tall. So that's the kind of plant he's talking about, not the little one you grow in your garden over here. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word of Jesus and pray that you would help me to interpret it to these, your loved ones, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Any gardeners here? Anybody ever grow a mustard seed? Nancy has? All right. I'm going to have a little contest here. We're going to see who's the best gardener. I got some four or five questions here for you to see who's the greatest gardener in the room. What do you call a grumpy and short-tempered gardener? A snapdragon. Now you know where I'm going with these, don't you? All right. What do you get when you cross poison ivy with a four-leaf clover? A rash of good luck. A rash of good luck. What do you call it when earthworms take over your entire garden? Global warming. Yeah, there you go. What do you get when you divide a pumpkin's circumference by its diameter? Pumpkin pie. What's long and green and is a crack shot with a rifle? Any okra. What does that smell? That's bad, isn't it? Those jokes stink. That's what I was getting at. Well, Jesus is talking about a seed. A mustard seed is not much larger than a grain of sand, but a mustard seed has something in it that a grain of sand does not. You know what that is? Life. Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a mustard seed that has life in it, and though it's very small, grows into something very big. And I simply want to say today that little is much when God is in it. It's an old hymn that we're going to sing to close this little time together. Little is much when God is in it. Kind of comes right out of that parable. It was written by a gal by the name of, Kitty Suffield. Kitty Suffield wrote that hymn in 1924. She was a pianist and a choir director in a small church in Ottawa, Canada. And she wrote the song and then saw it come to fruition in her own life with a young man who was this pastor's son in the church that she was the choir director. And this young man had a great voice, according to Kitty. She had heard him sing, and she said he had a great voice, and she tried to encourage him. But this young man was very shy, introverted, and said, "What difference does it make if one little boy joins your choir? It's not going to make a difference anyway." Well, she took it as her responsibility to begin praying for that little boy. And eventually, he gave in to her invitation to be a singer and start singing in the choir. That little boy, to make a long story short, was named George Beverly Shea, who, I don't know if you know the name George Shea. If you don't know it, Google it and watch some of his YouTube videos. He became one of the most famous singers because he followed Billy Graham all over this country and was Billy Graham's featured soloist and has sung many, many wonderful songs and led people to Christ through just the gift of his singing. And so Kitty Suffield watched that little song that she wrote about a mustard seed, little as much when God is in it. She saw that come to fruition in the life of George Beverly Shea. There's a lot of stories in the Scriptures that kind of go along with that idea that little as much when God is in it. There's that story in 1 Kings 17 or 18, somewhere in there. It's Elijah the prophet, you know. And there's a widow in a town called Zarephath. And she's a widow who has one son. There's been a famine, or a drought, I should say, for like a couple or 3 years in the land. And this widow, it says in 1 Kings, is getting ready to prepare her last meal for her and her boy. She's getting the last flour and the last water that she has, and she's making some biscuits, and then she's ready to die. And Elijah comes on the scene, and God has told Elijah, ask that lady to use her last flour and her last water to fix you a meal. Kind of a selfish thing to do, but God had something in mind. And when Elijah says, the Lord says that you should use your last, your little, to prepare a meal for me too, well, guess what happened? You know the end of the story? Her water jar and flour jar never run out until the drought ends, after like a year or so. And just God supernaturally provides. And it's just a wonderful example of little is much when God is in it. In the New Testament, you have a little boy who brings, what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus. And 5,000 people are fed, and a little is much when God is in it. On the day of Pentecost, one little old disciple named Peter, you know, just one guy stands up and preaches a sermon about Jesus, and 3,000 people join the church that day, and little is much when God is in it. Scriptures are replete with this idea that little is much when God is in it. Last week we talked about giving our best to the Lord, remember? And sometimes God can even take the little of the best that we have and use it. I'm reminded of Luke 21. Jesus is sitting around the temple, and people are coming by, the rich people are, and putting their offerings into the trumpets there, they're called it, like an offering basket. And Jesus notices a widow who comes up there and throws in 4 small copper coins. It's worth about 2 pennies in our, you know, in our United States currency. And Jesus commends her and says in that she has done more for the kingdom than all the rich people who put their money in, because she, out of her poverty, gave all she had. And little is much when God is in it. There's a story that comes from 100 years ago, something like that, about a lady. Oh, I was thinking about this when Karen talked about the shoeboxes that the kids are going to get ready. This lady was filling a shoebox to send to India. And a child that was in her Sunday school class heard about this shoebox that she was getting ready to send to India. It was stuffed with supplies that she was sending to a missionary over there. And this child in the class heard about it and said, can I give a nickel to that? This kid had a nickel. And she said, sure. Well, she actually bought about 100 of those gospel tracts with a nickel, and she put them inside that shoebox, and it goes over to India. And a local chief, I guess it was, got a hold of one of those tracts and read it and was led to the Lord by it. And because he was the chief of the tribe, he was able to witness to several people in his tribe, and it turns out that the whole tribe became Christians, and they built a church building, and they sent out a missionary themselves. And that, because of that little nickel, little as much when God is in it. In my home church in Willard, Ohio, there was a gal. I wish I could remember her name. I racked my brain. I can no longer remember her name. This was like 35 years ago. But she did 2 things in the church. She felt God's call upon her life to take care of the nursery. And she was in the nursery every Sunday and saw it as a wonderful privilege she had to touch the lives of children. And she would get the kids together in the nursery, and she would read from them children's Bible stories. And I can just imagine how those stories, I know that my kids were in that nursery, and I could just imagine the children who have become Christians as a result of her commitment to just reading the Bible stories to the kids in the nursery every Sunday. She wanted that nursery. There were other people in the church said, let me help you with the nursery. No, that's my territory, she said. That's my ministry. She was 82 years old at the time. She was in charge of the nursery, and she did one other thing. She clipped coupons with the idea that every penny I save from clipping a coupon, I'm going to give to missions work. And so she would just do a little thing like clipping coupons, And she gave more money to missions in that church than anybody else in the church because she just was so faithful at clipping coupons and saving money and would go to missions. I was a janitor in the church at that time, and I was often in the office when she would walk in, and she would say to Marvel, the secretary sitting there, and I happened to be in there instead out there working. I was talking to the secretary of the church, you know, and this lady would come in. She says, "Marvel, I just saved $5 in buying groceries today with my coupons." We knew what she was going to do. Little is much when God is in it. I'm just here to tell you today that little is much when God is in it. When we go out into the community, believe it or not, sometimes some of us think, well, what's that going to do for the kingdom going over there and shoveling some stones into a truck and then taking them down the street and shoveling them back out again? What are we going to move that rock for? Because little is much when God was in it. And you never know how doing something like that is going to have an impact in a person's life. You know that? You believe that? When we go out there and do little things like paint trains in the community or swing sets. Remember that? I'm thinking about that swing set down there in the circle by the tennis courts and all that. A few years ago we did that. Remember that? And then the jungle gym over here at the town hall. When we go out and do things like that, raise money for the fire department or whatever it happens to be, little is much when God is in it. Things happen. You guys know Alan and Vanna Robbins, probably, don't you? I first met Alan and Vanna about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know, maybe more, when I decided to join the Lions Club in Chippewa Lake here. I was introduced to Alan, and we slowly became friends. And I learned that he was the guy in charge of the polar bear, you know, event. And Alan took notice when Cross Point Church had a few volunteers. We started out with just a few volunteers and a few couple jumpers, and Alan took notice of that. And then he took notice too when we started going in the community and painting trains and doing other things like that. And I was talking to them the other night after my disciple class, and I asked them, you know, what? I'm so glad that you're in our class. And what was it that brought you guys here? Well, guess what it was. They began to take notice of what was going on with Cross Point Community Church and how we were felt like the Lord was calling us to go in the community and paint porches and things like that. And they thought, we're going to go down there and check that place out one of these days. And they did, and they've been here with us ever since. And they joined my Disciple 1 Bible class last year, and they came in and grew like crazy, and they're in my Disciple 2 class this year. And the other night, after class was over, Annie and I were talking to Vanna. Vanna says, you know, I can't believe it. She goes, a year ago, last year, when I came into this church and started in that disciple class, she said, I didn't know one thing about the Bible. She says, I knew that there was some guy named Paul that wrote part of it, and I knew that there was some people called the Corinthians, but I thought to myself, well, who in the heck is Paul, and why would I even be interested in anybody, a group of people called Corinthians that lived 2,000 years ago? She says, that's what it was like in her life last year, but she says, now. And you know, Vanna's mother had just passed away last week. We could go Thursday as she was on her way back, and she was telling us how she was on the phone with her sister, sharing Christ with her sister on the telephone. And little is much when God is in it, you know? I was at the local Lions meeting there a couple weeks ago, and after the meeting was over, all the Lions kind of hung around and talked. They're kind of like we are. You guys don't want to leave on Sunday morning. I think that's awesome. And the Lions are the same way. We were down there and the meeting was over, but everybody stands around and talks. And I was talking to Dave Young, and Alan Robbins was talking to somebody next to me, kind of in the same general vicinity to me, but I wasn't paying attention to what he was saying because he was talking to somebody and I was talking to Dave Young. But you know how sometimes when you're in a crowd and you hear your name, somebody, you're not listening to another conversation, but suddenly you hear your name in it and it's just like you hear. It's like our filter going. Well, anyway, I'm talking to Dave Young and I heard Alan say one phrase, and it caught my mind. I don't know what the context was, but all he said was, I guess we'll have to ask Jesus. That's all he said. But that's all he needed to say, because he told me all I needed to hear. He just planted a seed with somebody. Alan Robbins did. I guess we'll just have to ask Jesus. Yeah. So little is much when God is in it. That's the message of the Bible. Little is much when God is in it. When God decided to invade this planet, He did not come down in a huge giant flying saucer. If He wanted to, He could have. Or like an angel, He could have made Himself visible to the whole world at one time. But He didn't do that. What did He do? In the form of a little baby, in a stable, in an animal's feeding trough. Because little is much when God is in it. Even a little baby can change the whole world. I remember sitting in the living room of that pastor who pastored that church in Willard, Ohio. I didn't want to be there in that living room. I went kicking and screaming the whole way. My youngest daughter, it was time to get her dedicated, Sarah. We had had our first two children dedicated in another church. I never even met the pastor before. He wasn't interested in seeing us beforehand. But this pastor says, if we're going to dedicate that little girl, then you need to get your husband up here and he needs to find out what this is all about. So I went kicking and screaming the whole way. So I'm finding myself sitting there, tapping my foot, can't wait to get out of there. And he says, you need to know about Jesus. And I said, well, I don't know that I really do. And it was like, well, are you going to take place in this dedication or not? Well, yeah, I kind of like to, I guess. Well, then you need to know about Jesus. And he got out a little tract called the Four Spiritual Laws that used to be very popular back in the 1970s, 1980s, the Four Spiritual Laws. Number one, that all of us have been created in the likeness of God. Number two, all of us have gone astray, that all of us sin, and that the wages of sin is death. And that unless something is done to take care of our sin, then we're going to be without God for eternity. And number three, that Christ died for our sins, and He's the only way we can be forgiven of our sins. And number four, if we confess Christ as our Savior, if we ask Him to forgive us, then He will be part of our life. And he got done with that, and he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get down on our knees right now in my living room, and we're going to pray a prayer. So he said, get down there. And I didn't know what to say to this preacher. I didn't want to offend him, but I didn't want to be an idiot. I didn't know what, and I complied. I got down on my knees, even though I didn't want to, and he said a prayer and said, please forgive Randy of his sins. And I got up and walked out of that place, so I was fuming mad. I was fuming. A week later, I was in a church building. Through a series of coincidences, well, at least I thought they were coincidences then, I went to a church on my own. There was something going on in my life. And I went to that church building. And Reverend G. Ernest Thomas preached a message that was right directed at me. And he said at the end of the message, if you want to receive Christ, come up, get down here. Kneel down at this altar rail. I'll come help you pray. And instead of being forced into it like I was a week before, I got up willingly and went down there. And all I can say is, little is much when God is in it. And here I am, right now in this moment here, with you, as my friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given me the privilege of standing here and talking with you on these Sunday mornings. And as I was talking to my wife last night, telling her about this message, and I confessed to her what I confess to you now, that I usually like to put in 20 hours on a sermon, and I only put about 3 in on this thought today. I said, Gail, I need your help. I told her what I had, my measly little pickings that I had. And she says, well, you ought to tell him about remind him of the vision. I said, yeah, that's probably so. Thanks for that thought, Gail. But here I am, the pastor of the church. It's my privilege to call all of us to Christ, first of all, and then to minister His grace to others, secondly. And whether we are doing that by planting seeds individually, a one-on-one to other people, or whether we have the privilege of being the church together, or going out into our community and being a light that shines, I want to say to you that little is much when God is in it. The kingdom of God will grow and flourish as God's children are faithful in doing little things, giving our best like last week, but even the little things. Look for God in the little things. And I can't wait to see what He's going to continue to do in our future together as a congregation. I just can't wait. Because I know that as time goes on, the little things that we do individually and collectively are going to have a kingdom impact in the lives of other people. And some of these chairs that you see empty right now in the future are going to be filled with new faces because we're going to reach more and more people as we let our light shine. So that's what kind of gathered scatter is all about. It's little as much when God is in it, and we have that privilege of doing that today. So I got a feeling that probably some of you didn't come prepared to go shovel any stone. But did anybody? I hope so. I got my shovel. Do you have a shovel? We got some manpower. I hope people brought shovels. Because even when we're shoveling, little is much when God is in it. No matter what we do. And so I'll keep reminding you of this. And to share the seeds of faith in Christ with other people, it's a privilege in any way that we do it. Father, I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for Your call upon our lives, each one of us, and the fact that You've put us all together in this room. This particular group of people right here, right now, we represent what's known around here as Cross Point Community Church, and we thank You for the gift and for the opportunity to let our lights shine in all kinds of ways that sometimes we think are little, but now that we know the truth again, these little mustard seeds grow into a great kingdom. May Your kingdom come on earth in this place as it is in heaven through our efforts. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.